Well, this is Brad.
Oh, hello, Brad. This is Phil Rice.
Hey, can you hear me fine?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Good, good.
So it's been a busy day for me, but looks like my computer says it's 4:03. I guess I'm calling pretty much right on time, so good for that.
You are, yeah.
I've got still a couple of errands I need to run yet today, and so I'm not going to have the luxury of having a long phone call with you, but there are a couple things I'd like to talk about, and I'd certainly like to hear whatever it is that you have to say, okay?
Yeah, sure. I did listen to the message. I could, you know, take a guess at some of the reasons maybe that you're dissatisfied with the call. But I also wanted to, you know, kind of give you an opportunity to tell me, you know, what your experience was on the phone with Dan, and if there's anything about the phone call that you wish would have changed for the future.
Oh, okay, sure. Let's, I guess, start with that. In order for me to, I think, understand and appreciate where you're at in this process, I have taken from your comments that you would perhaps be described as Asia's boss. You're the guy that's in charge at the library. Eloise May, is that the name of the library?
Exactly. I'm Asia's boss.
Okay.
I'm like a regional manager, so I manage the May Library and I manage the Sheridan Library. I do not supervise the department of the employee that you spoke with on that phone call. We have like essentially like a call center,
right?
That is under a different manager.
Yeah, I kind of assumed that, but I'm just trying to get a clear picture in my mind about where you fit into the process, you know, in effect, who you are, and please don't take that the wrong way. Here's what is kind of an important question to me is that I did write a letter to Asia, and I sent a copy to the name that Dan gave me and address that he gave me. And again, I don't have my copy of that letter in front of me now. And I'm wondering, what was it that caused you to contact me? Did you get a copy of that letter?
I did. Yeah. So you had written a letter and it went to our executive director, Ollie. And since you the letter was really, you know, it was about your experience here at the Eloise May Library. I confirmed that, you know, the issue that you're dealing with was completely resolved. And I just wanted to reach out to you because, yeah, you know, anytime that there's like a patron complaint or an issue and it gets escalated, especially to the executive director level, you know, we want to make sure that our customers are satisfied. To be quite direct.
Let me say now what perhaps I should have said at the very start. Maybe this should have been the very first thing that I said, was that I very much appreciated your message, and I congratulate you. I think you've demonstrated a wonderful attitude, and it's very much appreciated by me. And so rest assured that I have a very good opinion of you right now. But again, I'm just trying to get a picture. You said Ollie. Well, Oliver Sandis, I guess, is Sinitas is the name that he gave me. And so I sent a copy to him, and he apparently read it and decided to pass it along to you. And so you've got a copy of the letter. Is that right?
I did get a copy, yes.
Okay. But not from Asia, for example.
Asia had shown me a copy of that letter or another letter. Honestly, I'm failing to remember. And so I was familiar with the issue that you were dealing with before Ollie shared the letter with me. So yeah, Asia had done her due diligence and brought it to my attention.
All right, so fine. I guess another point that I wanted to make you aware of is that I know that most people, I do occasionally send letters like that out, and you know, not just to the Arapaho Library, but other places as well. And in fact, I could tell you some stories, but I just don't have time to go into a lot of the other things that I've been doing. Here's the point that I want to make. Somebody like you, or pretty much anybody, will look at a letter like that and read it, perhaps, and they probably never even ask themselves the question, well, I wonder how much of Phil Rice's time was consumed preparing and issuing that letter, how much money he spent, which in this case was practically nothing, not enough that I would worry about, but there is some expense involved. I had to buy some envelopes and stamps, and I had to then go to the post office to mail the letters, and blah, blah, blah. But the big time consumer for me was the letter itself. And, you know, if I were to somehow give you a test and where you had a stake in the game, where you wanted to try and get it right, and ask you, how much of my time do you think it took to get that letter generated? I could almost guarantee you that you'd be, you'd underestimate by maybe a factor of 3 or 4, maybe more. And there's a couple of reasons for that. I think everybody tends to see the world through the lens of what would be normal for them and what they've seen and experienced. And so, you know, the natural inclination would be to say, well, what if I needed to write a letter like this? How long would it take me to write it? And so ask yourself that question. But what you probably don't realize is that represents, I don't know, revision 8 or 9. I wrote and rewrote that thing 8 or 9 times. I wasn't counting, but many times. Over a period of, I want to say, maybe 2 weeks from when I actually got the first draft completed to where I finally got that thing in the mail. And it made me angry, if you will, that's what it took for me to get my account cleared up. Before that, I'd gotten in my car and driven to the library and talked with more than one person while I was there. And I was assured that, you know, don't you worry about a thing. We got this all cleared up and not to worry. It's all good. And, of course, it wasn't all good because a couple weeks later, I got another email that said, when are you going to return this book? You've got this book out and you need to get it back to us. And so, bear in mind that when Asia assures me that it's all cleared up, don't you worry about a thing, and when you assure me it's all cleared up, don't you worry about a thing, I'm inclined to believe you. I'm not trying to be stubborn or obstinate about this, but my experience has been that I've been told that before, and it turned out to not be correct. And when it's not correct, it winds up being my problem, and I'm going to say 8 to 10 to 15 hours of my time are invested in that letter. And think about what a work week represents to you and what 10 or 15 hours of your time represents as a portion of that work week, and how you would feel about it if that's what it took to get your account cleared up after you had paid $40. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. And like I said, I'm impressed by the fact that you took the trouble to contact me and step up and, you know, say, yes, we're going to be accountable. Do you have that letter in front of you now?
You know, I do not. I don't believe.
All right.
No, I'm sorry. So I do not.
I don't have mine in front of me either, but I can tell you, from memory, that I asked Asia to do a few specific things. And she chose to do some of them, but not all of them. She picked and chose as to what she did and the way she went about it, and not the way that I asked her to, but the way that she's comfortable with. And she did say, she apologized, and she used the right words in the apology, but it rang a little bit hollow for me. She was sorry, but not sorry enough to do what I asked her to do. And specifically what I'm talking about is I asked her to send me a letter and to sign her name so that it's not just somebody telling me, don't you worry about a thing, we've got it all cleared up. I've got something where they've demonstrated that they're serious about it and they're willing to sign their name to it. And she didn't do that. And apparently she thought that was okay. That was going to be adequate. Well, when I got the email from her, I read what it had to say and I thought, you know, I'm not satisfied with this, but what am I going to do? Do I want to start sinking more of my time into this or do I want to just let it go? And I thought, well, as long as it is in fact cleared up and I stop getting reminder letters and I guess probably the smart thing for me to do is just let it go and try to forget about it. But that's kind of the way I felt about it. And the other thing that I wanted to talk to you about was the $40. I contacted my credit card company and asked them to consider it a disputed matter and to refund my credit card, which they did. But they subsequently decided to reverse that and not credit my account. They credited it, but then they uncredited it. So after the credit card company got done with the transaction, I still wound up having paid you $40. And I'm not satisfied with that either. I don't think you've got any business accepting $40 of my money after the way that you've handled this and the way things have been, the way I've been treated. I did contact my credit card company and tried to ask them questions, and it's very frustrating. The person I talked to was just somebody that answered the phone in a call center. They didn't really know. But probably the reason that they reversed the dispute and in effect gave you my $40 back is because I needed to send them documentation for why I was trying to wanting to dispute the charge, what my side of the story was, and for a number of reasons that maybe I can go into it, maybe not. Maybe I can just summarize by saying I'm dealing with health issues. I got health problems. And I was going through a period of time where it was hard for me to get out of bed during the day. I'd spent 20 hours of the day in bed and 4 hours up out of bed. And so my letter that I sent to you was what I wound up sending to the credit card company as well as a documentation for my side of the story. But apparently they got a few days too late. They have a deadline of, I don't know, 30 days or something, whatever their deadline was. They didn't have anything from me when that deadline arrived. And so I think what they did is they said, well, since we don't have anything, we're just going to reverse it and deny it because he didn't follow the rules. And as it turned out, when I called and asked about it, again, speaking to somebody from a call center that didn't know what the heck was going on, what the story was, they were able to assure me that on that day, they had received the letter. And so I think the story is that they did get it, but they got it a few days too late. And that may be the reason that they reversed it. I don't know. It may be that Asia or somebody from the Arapaho Library said, well, we're going to dispute the dispute. We don't think he's entitled to his $40 back. We think we should be able to keep it. And maybe that's what caused them to do that. I don't know. I couldn't get a straight answer out of them. And again, I wound up thinking to myself, well, you know, I've so many hours of my time has been burned up by this darn thing. Do I want to keep, in effect, throwing good money after bad? Or maybe the thing to do is just forget about it, let it go, and try and put it out of my mind. And so that's where I'm at. But your statement to me was, you know, what could we do better and what can we do now to make this right? And my response is, you can refund my $40 is what you can do. That's one of the things I'd like to at least ask. And if you choose not to, probably what's going to happen is nothing. I probably won't do anything about it because, like I said, I've just gotten to the point where I've just got too many other things going on, doctor's appointments and things like that, that are sucking up my time, and I can't afford to be spending any more time on this. There were three items on my list. I've covered two of them already. The third one is I would like to speak with Oliver Tsimitis. I'd like to have him listen to that tape recording as well. I think if he'll just listen to it, then I'll be satisfied with that. I've heard your comments, and I think you get the idea. I think it was self-explanatory, but maybe not. I'd written a letter, or I was just about finished with the letter, and I needed to decide who was I going to send a copy to. And at that point, I didn't even know Asia's last name. And so I did get from Dan Asia's last name. That was a helpful bit of information. And if you listen to the whole thing, you'll see that I did eventually get Oliver Tsimitis' name and title and address that I could just mail a letter to him. That's all I wanted to do. And if you listen to the way he came across, he apparently feels like it's his solemn, sacred duty to not tell me Oliver Tsimitis' name and mailing address, or to at least resist and make it hard for me. If you think I'm exaggerating, go back and listen to it again, is what I would tell you to do. And if that's what he's been trained to do, that's what his instructions are, well, then fine. Pat him on the back and tell him, good job. I don't know if that's what he's supposed to be doing or not. Is he a gatekeeper? Is he supposed to keep that information away from people like me? He said that the executives are bombarded with way too many comments from customers like me, and it's a problem, and they try to limit it and cut down on it. Is that true? Is that the way you feel? If it is, then fine. But I don't think you're really the one. I think Oliver Tsimitis is the one. Did he give me the right name?
There's no secret to his name or his position. I mean, if you go to our website, Ollie Tsimitis' picture is on the website, and his name and his title.
Here's the way I'll respond to that. It's something that I see this happen over and over and over again, is that the instructions always make perfect sense when you already know how it works. So all I have to do is go to your website and find it on your website. And I don't doubt that it's there. But the point is, I've got Dan on the phone. And if it's easy for me to find, it ought to be even easier for him to find. And all I got was resistance. He wanted to make it hard for me, is what he wanted to do. Certainly was not going to go out of his way to make it easy for me. And so what do you think I'm going to think about that? How do you expect me to react to that? But again, he gave me the name Oliver Tsimitis, and I would like to have the opportunity to speak with him. And so if you want to just give me a number I can call and see if he'll speak to me, that'd be fine. or if you want to call and talk to them and tell them, you know, there's this guy that wants to talk to you and I think you should take the call. Are you willing to? I'm willing to handle it that way. And if you want to respond with, well, I don't want to do anything that's going to make it easy for you, so I'm not going to help you, I won't be shocked or terribly surprised, because that seems to be the order of the day, but I'm going to ask the question. I would like to call him on the phone and have a conversation like this with him about that call. I'd like to have him listen to it. And if he listens to it and he thinks, well, you know, I don't have a problem with it, I'm okay with it, then okay. I think as long as he does listen to the 10-minute call, all 10 minutes of it, I'll be satisfied. That's really all I want to accomplish.
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind. I think probably the best thing to do is for me to just, like, I have your contact information. Just verify. You gave me two phone numbers. Just verify which one you want him to call. I can pass along your contact information to Ollie and have him reach out to you and schedule a time for a conversation.
I don't want him,
certainly willing to do that.
I don't
so
want
go
him
ahead.
I don't want him to call me.